7:10, 71 degrees, light rain falling on and off throughout the mid-Michigan area. We are expecting some thunderstorms later on this morning. In about 8-9 minutes, we'll have WLS's Mike Ellis with us to give us the forecast and tell us how long we're going to need our umbrellas. Now, this has been a crazy week at the state capitol. Kyle Malin is probably on fumes as we speak, but he's been kind enough to get up this morning and chat with us. Kyle, how late were you up last? Late were you up last night?
Oh, gee. You know what? It actually wasn't that late last night. I think I got home at 11 o'clock, so that wasn't too bad. The session ended in the Senate around 6, 7 o'clock. So all things considering, I've done a lot worse.
Well, some call this craziness. We in the news business love this because there's a lot going on. Let's start with Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger. Many have asked him to step down. What's your take on this story? Where are we?
Well, as of right now, the only people who are asking him to step down are Democrats. The Democrats are having a great time with this story. They're able to pin the Speaker of the House with the words election fraud, and they're going to use that in his district. They're going to use that against Roy Schmidt in the Grand Rapids area, and they're going to try and take this and turn this into a statewide issue and paint all House Republicans with the same brush. Senate Democrat Leader Gretchen Whitmer has taken the extra step by saying, you know, if a prosecutor really wanted to prosecute, they have a case against Jace Bulger for encouraging someone to commit perjury. They even think that there could be a charge of racketeering. Gretchen Whitmer is an attorney and would be in a position to know the law in that case. The Republicans, though, seem to be rallying behind Jace Bulger. He's been a good leader for them. There's no signs of cracks in his caucus that we can tell so far. There doesn't seem to be an active movement within the caucus to remove him as speaker. And so it looks like he's going to stay on for a while. He's really got a rock-solid caucus, Tony. I mean, usually in caucuses there's fissions. You always know, you know, who kind of the dissenting voices are. We haven't seen that in this caucus. They have run an extremely tight ship over there. And I think that now that they're facing a bit of public scrutiny, that tight ship is really paying off for them. And Bulger seems to be riding it out okay with his caucus.
We've had several calls over the last several days to Jace Bulger in his office. We have not had any response from Ari Adler, who's the speaker, the spokesperson for the speaker. So we're hoping that they will come on and talk. You know, when this story first broke, Kyle, especially with the involvement of the speaker, I started thinking about Watergate just from the aspect of why in the world would you have to be involved in something like this? Do we know the reason, the logic behind his involvement with this?
Well, I think it's just being too cute on the politics here. I mean, the idea of just trying to assure yourself a victory in the House district by putting up a phantom candidate who's not going to do anything is certainly not a novel idea. And the fact that it's been done before in Michigan, I'm sure, and across the country, it's just that in the past, it's been done and people have suspected it, but there's just been no smoking gun. In this case, we had an investigation because there was a criminal suspicion of perjury, and there was a prosecutor who got text messages who was able to prove it. You know, in the past, you wouldn't have had that kind of thing. You wouldn't have had a speaker have to own up to it because there wouldn't have been hard evidence that showed that, hey, you know what, you did it. And, you know, I think that's what makes this different than any other case where we kind of suspect it, and the media has just grappled onto it, because it just verifies what we thought all along, that politicians are self-preserving, shady folks who, you know, are just trying to just preserve their power at all costs.
So is what you're saying that this type of thing happens all the time, usually no one finds out about it?
Well, I wouldn't say all the time, Tony, but I will say that I can't believe it's the first time from folks that I've talked to. It's not the first time, but I wouldn't say all the time that this kind of thing happens, but yes, we normally don't hear about this because the folks involved do a better job covering their tracks.
All right, Kyle, I don't think I've said the word vagina more in my lifetime as compared to what I've said in the last few weeks. Representative Byram wants an apology from the speaker. Is he going to get it?
No. No, I don't think so. I think he's just going to let this blow over. There was 115,000 petitions that were delivered to the speaker's, or signatures that were delivered to the speaker's office yesterday, asking for an apology for telling Barb Byram and Lisa Brown that they couldn't speak on the floor for a day for their comments regarding the abortion bill last month. He's already said that there isn't going to be an apology coming, and just because some folks on the liberal state end of things are calling for an apology doesn't mean they're going to get one. He's just going to ride this out and just think that this is just more politics from the Democrats.
I read online about a story in reference to bills calling for new rules for midwives. Whitmer's behind this. Tell us about it.
See, I haven't been following that bill too much, Tony, but I will say, though, that you know, there's a lot of professions out there, in the medical profession in particular, where there is an increased focus on trying to get regulations for the medical profession. Now, I'm not, like I said, I'm not exactly sure on this one, but we saw it with chiropractic. We saw it with, actually, we just saw a bill clear the Senate yesterday, and I can't remember what the profession was, but you're seeing a lot of medical groups be active to try and get regulation and set standards that kind of legitimize their occupation. You know, being a midwife is one of them. You know, you get rules and regulations and a board and so forth set up in the Department of Community Health, and you've got some standards that everyone has to adhere to. And when you have those put into state law, it kind of legitimizes the whole field, and everybody's got to play by the same playbook. And you get rid of kind of those bad actors or the people who are kind of operating on the fringes. They're kind of doing the work, kind of not, kind of following rules, kind of not. You get those things in place, you'll erase all that, and you make your profession legit, so to speak.
Where are we with the teachers' vouchers bill?
Well, there isn't a bill yet. And you know, obviously the administration doesn't want to use the word vouchers because that has a negative connotation. The voters in Michigan said back in 2000 or so, they don't like that that idea, but there's no question that we do have some hearings going on right now from the governor's office, chaired by Richard McClellan, to look into doing something similar, in which you're attaching state money to a student who can take that money anywhere to get his or her education. And it's just at the hearing phase right now. There is no bill yet. They're just gathering input, and they want to get a report together. Those started this week, and we'll see if there's a legislator who wants to pick that up. That isn't near term at all. That's probably next session.
All right, let's talk about the health exchange. We had Randy Richardville on the program, who had said that they have dealt with this and passed that along to the House. The House Dems want to take it up, but the House Republicans do not. Where are we with this? Will this be dealt with before the elections in November?
Yeah, I did hear you talking with Randy yesterday about that. And, you know, I think it has to be. But what the speaker said today or yesterday was, we are going to do some hearings on the health exchanges to answer some questions people in our caucus have on it. Those hearings are going to happen soon, I'm sure. And, you know, once those questions get asked, and I think the Republicans, House Republicans, get kind of on the same page, I do think we'll see some movement on that. You know, they're in a sticky situation, and because they are facing, many of them are facing primaries against more conservative opponents who would use this issue against them in the primary. And so they're going to stay away from this until August 7th as far as making a final decision. But once they clear that, we get into September a little bit, and there's more clarity in the real deadlines that we face here with the department, with the federal Department of Health and Human Services, I think they have really no choice but to pass something. I know Mike Shirky from Jackson County would really like to get a solution that has a more private sector bent to it. There's some questions whether they can actually do that. Those are questions that I think Bolger would like to have answered as part of this committee hearing process.
All right. What else have I missed so far that you've been covering?
Well, yesterday was a huge day in the Senate, and there was a lot of talk about getting the Minister's teacher retirement reforms taken care of, but in the end, those are going to be postponed for another month. it looks like there's still division within the Senate Republican caucus about moving new teachers to a defined contribution plan. The administration in the House has been reluctant to do that because of fears of the upfront costs. But the Senate Republicans say they have numbers that show that they can do it. Randy Richardville tried to pass the House and the governor's version yesterday on the floor. That failed by four votes, three votes, I guess, if Kelly had been on the floor for a tiebreaker. But it fell short. That bill was going to a joint House and Senate conference committee, where the next step will be the appointment of six conferees who will sit down and hammer out a compromise. And I think everybody's willing to get that compromise done, but there's just some real hard Republicans on that side who want defined contribution in there now, because they don't feel like they feel like if they don't do it now, it won't get done for another generation. And that system ultimately, in the end, will have to go, you know, 401k defined contribution. Eventually, let's do it now.
All right, Dan, before we let you go, Kyle, anything locally catch your eye?
No, I think the you know, these competitive races here locally, I think, will continue to heat up as we approach the August 7th primary, drain commissioner, all these state rep races. We're going to be keeping an eye on those. I know the city Pulse did some more look into the fervor about Jody Washington and the whole Eric Hewitt and the skirt stuff. But I think that there's a real effort to try and keep that going, to embarrass the mayor and trying to loot his power going into these primary elections. I don't know how successful that's going to be.
Well, we haven't talked about that much because no one will tell us who said that. So it's,
I know, and that's the problem, too. Yeah. You know, who said this? You know, I think it kind of takes away from the credibility of it until someone will step forward. I know the argument is, well, the person's afraid of repercussions. Well, shoot, you know, Verge, if he really did say it, probably does know who he said it to. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like he said it to 15 people. I've got to believe that he knows who he said it to, and if there were repercussions, they'd already be administered. So that makes no sense to me. I really wish whoever this was would step forward. And until they do, I think it really damages, you know, the effectiveness using this politically will have.
We've been talking with Kyle Malin, who's the editor of the MIRS newsletter, MIRSnews.com. Helps you keep up with what's going on at the state capitol. Kyle, thanks so much. We appreciate you greatly.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
7:23, currently 71 degrees under cloudy skies on this Thursday morning on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. How rainy is it going to be, Mike Ellis? I'll tell you next on 1320 WILS.